Buenos días, ¿cómo están? Some Spanish majors? No, just kidding. You know that Spanish is the language of heaven, right? So you guys need to learn it. If you want to practice, you can come every Sunday at 2 or 4 at Centro de Vida. Thank you so much for having me here today. I love seeing familiar faces too from Centro de Vida. It's exciting to be here. And this place has a special, it has a special place in our hearts. My sister is actually getting her doctorate here. It's her second year. So we love this house. Dr. Castleberry is our tío. So if you see him today, tell him his sobrinas were at chapel today, and he'll know what that means. We are talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm excited about it. I think the Spirit is excited about it as well. And we're going to go to this verse to understand the work of the Holy Spirit a little bit better, since the Holy Spirit is our companion. It's, you know, Jesus said he had to leave to our, it was for our advantage for the Holy Spirit to be with us. So there was so much of the Spirit in all Scripture, as I think Dr. Beth spoke on Wednesday. So we're going to go to John 16 and just see this work of the Holy Spirit that is the purpose, one of the purposes. So you'll find it right there. I want to try to find it here in my Bible and read it from here. It says, well, we'll read it from there. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. May we understand his work today more clearly and walk in freedom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I was born in Lima, Peru, and my parents were pastors at this church called Shalom. And I remember that my sister and I, on services that were not Sunday morning, like Sunday night services or Wednesday night services, there was no childcare, no kids ministry. So my little friends and I, we were about five besties, we would do what we thought was right, which was sneak out of the service and actually go find an empty room and play church. So I was usually the pastor for some odd reason, and my friends were the ushers, and we needed the new believer that was so eager and willing to accept Jesus, which was my sister. And then we had to have that resistor, the one that was just like, no one's going to convince me. We had a friend that would just resist the work. But, you know, but I would push through, you know, literally, and she will receive the Holy Spirit because no one can oppose it, and they would be free. But I remember those experiences growing up, and I remember the experience of the Holy Spirit in the community of the church. So I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a camp. I remember being called to ministry at a camp. I remember being convicted, receiving prophetic words at conferences. I remember encounter nights, vigil nights, where I just felt this, you know, freedom from the Spirit in my heart, and I would experience him so clearly in my life. And I got used to the idea that the Holy Spirit would move in community, and that was kind of his cup of tea, you know. That's where the Spirit worked. I didn't realize that the Holy Spirit works every single day in my life. And I was limiting his work to only big events, which, yes, the Holy Spirit does manifest in big events. Yes, it is beneficial for us to do things and in the community where two or three are gathered, right? God is there. The Spirit of God is there. But as I began to grow, I started understanding the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is also in the mundane. It's also in the everyday, nitty-gritty, you know, grindy, whatever it's the frame is. He works every single day in our lives. He works when we are on our way to the coffee shop. He works when we open scripture and read. He works when we are texting at 11 p.m. He works when we are studying for debt week. He works when we are at home. He works when we are in a disagreement with our parents. He is at work every single day of our lives. In fact, the verse that we just read, Jesus said, it is to whose advantage? Your advantage that Jesus leaves. He said, hey, I need to go because it is to your advantage that I go. If I don't go, the helper won't come. And you need the helper, not only for big events. You need the helper for your every single day growth, spiritual growth, so that you and I can become more like Jesus every single day. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is that he convicts. So a way to understand conviction is this. The Holy Spirit convinces us of the truth. The truth, not a truth. He convinces us of the truth by confronting us with sin so that we can walk in freedom. Now, convinces us of the truth because although the world tells us there's many ways and many truths, we know that there is only one truth. And the Spirit of God, he leads us to the truth every single day. He confronts us of sin because the Bible also says that sin is, we get entangled with sin. Sin is crouching at the door. Jesus conquered sin on the cross, but every single day we have to die to ourselves. We have to say no to the temptations and the offers of sin and live a life of holiness. So he confronts us with sin so that we won't walk as we used to walk as people who do not know the light, but walk as children of God so that we can walk in that freedom. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I will experience freedom every single day so that we won't be chained up to any sin, any condemnation, so that we won't walk in shame, but walk in full freedom every single day. So how does that work? What does that look like in every single day, in my every single day life? How does God convict me through the Holy Spirit? So he does it in different ways. One of the ways is that conviction of the Spirit comes in high definition. Now, I don't know if you were alive when this happened, but I remember the day at my home we transitioned from having a box TV to having a flat screen TV, from no high definition to high definition. So we switched TVs. We were so excited. We got it at Costco because that's where you get things. And we plugged all the stuff in and then we turned it on and I was like, ah! I had a huge headache. I had never seen a screen so clearly as that day. It was so clear that it got scary clear because I was just like, I had no idea those wrinkles were there. I had no idea that person had that look. It was so clear. It's like I had been living a lie. I was like, I've been with this TV where people looked very perfect, but now with this high definition TV, I can see every little thing on a person's face up close and personal. And when the Spirit convicts, he convicts in high definition. It means his conviction and his confrontation is clear. It's not vague. You're never wondering, oh, is this the Holy Spirit or not? The Holy Spirit is very clear in our lives. In fact, he highlights some things that are hard for us to surrender. See, when I say high definition, I don't mean that it's going to be hard when the conviction comes. I'm just saying that it's going to be clear. It's going to be clear what we must do, the decisions we must make. It is clear. It is clear as day who we need to seek and ask for forgiveness, who we need to apologize, what is it that we need to stop doing. It is clear. The Spirit of God is not vague when it comes to that. The Bible says that he's not a God of confusion. So when he comes and he convicts us of sin, he tells us in love in order for us to move to repentance. And he tags at us Maybe you're feeling the tag of the Holy Spirit about something in your life, and he's pressing, and he's confronting, and we can't say it's confusing. It's very clear. It's just hard to obey. I remember my first year of marriage with my husband. We had little arguments here and there, but I remember my first big fight with him, okay? It was huge. And I remember we were going to sleep, and we usually cuddle, you know, to go to sleep. But that day I was just like upset. So I turn around, and then he turns around too. And it was such a big fight. And of course, I was right. I was right, and he was wrong. And in my head, I was still arguing with him, because that's just what you do, you know. And I was just winning all the arguments in my head. And I was just like, I'm going to say this when he says that. And I'm going to say, how dare you? And I'm going to say, you met Jesus when you were 21. I met Jesus in the womb. You know, I'm just going to spill out all the stuff. And I'm just going to tell him this and that. And then I hear the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, turn around and say, I am sorry to your husband. And I was just like, that's not the Spirit. You know, I was like, I am right. You know, I was like, And then the Spirit of God, when I started pressing in and hearing, he began to say, hey, was that the tone that you needed to use? Were those the words of a child of God? You were treating him as an enemy, not as a sister in Christ. And he began to talk to me about my pride at that moment. He began to speak to me about how I was condescending to him at that moment. He began to whisper gently that I wanted to be right, more than I wanted to be holy. And it took every strength of my heart to turn around. I didn't want to, because I'm prideful. And I, you know, tapped him, and God said, don't say, oh, I'm sorry, but you do. No, you just say, I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay. So I said, hon, please forgive me. I use this words and that, and please forgive me. And then I waited, because I was like, you know what I was waiting for, right? For him to say I'm sorry too, you know, because that's how it works, right? And he turns around and he's like, I forgive you. And that's it. And then I was like, oh, we're gonna fight again. We are going to go at it again. But then the Spirit of God began to speak to me again and said, hey, were you wanting a different response? Were you saying forgive me because you wanted also him to say I'm sorry? And he began to speak. It was hard. It was hard to listen. It was hard to obey. But it was clear. It was clear. The Spirit of God is in the business of being invested in your life and in my life daily. And there are times, because you and I, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us every single day of our lives. And he wants us to be like Jesus. And he knows we want to be like Jesus. So every day when sin knocks at the door, when our pride wants to win, when the flesh wants to take over, that's when the Spirit says, hey, high definition, hey, that was unkind, hey, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is where he highlights it for us to repent. He doesn't highlight it so that we will be condemned. That is the work of Satan. Satan condemns and shames so that you'll see no way out. But the job and the work of the Holy Spirit is so that we can see a clear path of repentance. It's where we can say, I am sorry I hurt you. Not, I am sorry if I hurt you. When we say, you know what? That was not right. I lied. I stretched the truth. I exaggerated. But that's not what a child of God does. You know what? I wanted to win. I wanted my name there. I wanted to be right. And that's when the Spirit of God begins to show us clearly when we are erring. Clearly, when we're deviating from who we are in Christ Jesus. The way the Holy Spirit convicts, it's also, his conviction is helpful. It's helpful. when the Holy Spirit convicts, it's always because he has a better way for us. You know, sometimes we have, you know, our way and his way and the highway, but the Holy Spirit will always have a better way. A better way to solve that issue, a better way to handle that conflict, a better way to live in freedom, a better way to respond, a better way to react, a better way to be a man and a woman of God. He will always show us a better way because the Spirit of God's conviction is always helpful. He sees where we are going and he wants to help us achieve what God has called us to achieve. He wants us to walk in complete freedom. And sometimes he uses scripture to do it, and sometimes he uses men and women and friends to help us get there when we are drowning in our sin. I remember when I was 18, it was the most confusing years of my life, to be quite honest. I had an identity crisis. I went through a very dark, trauma in my life, and that just, it sparked some insecurities. And I remember that I began to lose scholarships because of my grades. I began to drop classes. I remember that I began to lie about my, GPA. I was going to say GPS, so GPA. And I remember even changing that in the computer so I can show my dad a different GPA. One time my dad's like, that doesn't add up. And I'm like, that's right. How dare? I'm going to go right there into the office and tell them that they added it wrong. But it was because I was not going. I was depressed. And the Bible says in Psalm 32:3 that as I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning. All day long, I kept silent. And my bones wasted away. My reactions were different. My actions were different. My demeanor was different. I didn't want to see people in the eye. I wanted to change the subject to everything. I projected my anger into others. I became an isolated person. My bones wasted away. And the Spirit, his conviction is helpful. So he brought it in the form of my sister. I remember that she called me into her room, and I went in, and she's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, what's wrong with you, you know? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And she's like, no, something is happening. Something is off. What's happening? And I said, I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about. And I was going to leave, and she places herself between the door and, you know, my exit. And she said, we're not leaving this room until you are free. And I began to bawl and to say out loud what was hurting me, say out loud what the devil was using to condemn me and shame me. I found a safe place with the Holy Spirit through the life of my sister to say, I need help. Maybe you are the person God is going to use like that in a friendship and in a relationship. Or maybe you are the person that is needing the Holy Spirit to trap you in a room so that you can say, this is what's happening. Yes, I may show something outside, but there's something happening inside. And Satan thinks he's winning because I think he is. And someone needs to remind you that the Holy Spirit will be helpful. He will give you a better way. He will set you free to freedom. God has set us free. And that was the moment of my surrender. His conviction will always be helpful. He's getting our attention to protect us. And the Holy Spirit's conviction is also hopeful. Hopeful. In Psalm 51:12, it says the following. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. This is David. You know, this is David, the one that we, admire so much. And we're like, oh, he defeated Goliath. Woohoo! And he was so tiny and, you know, whatever, and like 15 years old. And then we see Psalm 51. And as you read scripture, you see David in a whole different perspective. You know, the Bible doesn't hide away the flaws of humanity. And here is David, not listening to the Spirit of God and saying, compromising his yes with sin. Little by little, he started getting deeper and deeper into a hole. First, it was not going to war when the kings were supposed to go to war. Then he's just like walking in his kingdom palace thing, and then he sees a naked woman and wants her, a desire that was not from the Lord. And then he says yes to the desire and brings her in and commits adultery. Not only that, he keeps on walking, trying to hide his actions, becomes a murderer. You know, there is a danger when we don't listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But here he is, David. Here's low. He's right here. The king of Israel. And here is God. Here is God restoring him and working with him and loving on him. And at Psalm 51 that we read, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Something had happened in David's life. There was no joy anymore because sin rips out joy. There was no reason to keep going. There was no real freedom. But when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you, he always gives you hope. Because although David's sin was big, God's grace was bigger. So when you think you've hit the bottom, God says there's life after rock bottom. There's life after the failure. There's life after the mistake. There's life after the sin. There is life. There is hope in Jesus. You and I have hope in Jesus. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit that can remind you that no weapon forged against you will prosper. Remind you that you are a child of God. Remind you whose you are. When you feel like you are nothing, God says, hey, I am everything. I am here to help you. I'm here to provide a way out. I'm here to restore you. I was 18, 19, and I thought my life was over by the mistakes and the things that I had allowed myself to be in. And there comes God's incredible grace to pick me up. But I needed confession. I needed to recognize what I had done. Not like those forgive me's that now we have, right? I remember my husband and my dad have this weird thing that if someone makes mistakes, they just look at each other and they're like, and that means I'm sorry. And I was like, honey, that's not, you have to say I'm sorry. That's just not the way, you know, because I'm always right, right? And I was telling him, and they're working on that with his dad who doesn't know the Lord so much, and we're praying for his salvation. But there comes the Spirit and says, hey, I want to lift you up, but you need to recognize what happened. And we don't need to recognize for shame, but we need to recognize so that we can say, hey, God, I need you. I need you to come and heal me right now. I need you to lift me up right now. I need to confess this anger to you. I need to confess this pride to you, because as I keep sinning, when I don't say it, Satan takes advantage of me, puts me in a deeper hole, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit gives me hope that there is life after my sin, that there is life after my mistake. You know, the Holy Spirit's work of conviction is an everyday thing. In fact, he says in Ephesians 4:30 that we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit, whom we were sealed in for the day of redemption. And we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't listen to his conviction, when we ignore it, when we try to find our own way, when God says, hey, I am the way. And there are areas in our lives that he wants to highlight in high definition, not to expose you, because Satan exposes us, but to expose the sin for the sake of your future. There is a future that is bright, that is good, that's amazing, that is challenging, but that is good. And Satan wants to strip you of that. But Jesus brings the freedom when we say, Lord, I want to listen to your conviction. Do we want to pray for that today? Let's pray that we will listen. We will listen to the Holy Spirit, not only during moments of big events, not only during, you know, conferences, but listen to the Holy Spirit tonight when we go to our dorms, when we text someone, when we go over to get coffee with someone and we feel the Holy Spirit speaking to us, that we need his conviction, yes? Just like we need his power, we all want his power. We also want his conviction so that we can walk in freedom. This walking freedom. Students, dear God, I pray right now. I pray that we will walk in full freedom. I know Satan has come to condemn us. And perhaps right now in this room, there are students who are carrying guilt. But God, you have called us to freedom. So I pray in the name of Jesus that as we repent of the things that we have allowed ourselves to get tangled in, when we accept and affirm your Spirit in our lives and recognize the need that we have of you, that your freedom will come, that your forgiveness will come, and that we will walk in freedom every single day of our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.